And those indeed are the two poles of our own existence as well in Christ. Christ is born, we glorify him. Christ dies on the cross, and then he is risen. Truly, he is risen. And I was taught, and I was kind of led by those thoughts to think of God's history with us and with all of creation to be times of embrace. Times of embrace. From eternity, we read in John's Gospel, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. En archeon o logos ka logos in proston theon. Proston theon. In that unimaginable eternity of the Spirit, of the existence of the Trinity, John tells us that the Word of God was proston theon, was leaning towards God the Father, in the embrace of the Father. The Word was with God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, John tells us. And in the nativity, in the birth, when he took on flesh, when he became flesh, he was wrapped in swaddling cloths in the embrace of Mary. And when he died on the cross, and he was taken down from the cross, again he was wrapped in swaddling cloths. Again he was held in the embrace of that creation that he created at the beginning as he was buried into the earth. Not in a hermetically sealed casket as we like in this death-denying culture, and not in a concrete tomb, but in the embrace of the earth, creation. I remember how my mother was buried in Greece. Open casket, brought and put into the ground, the ground, not in any concrete walled tomb, without a cover on the casket, an earth covering her. People were shocked many years ago when I talked about worms. Yeah, I know. Some of you remember that infamous Sunday. There are several infamous Sundays in my memory. But dear friends, that's what it's all about. You can put yourself in a hermetically sealed casket and be in a concrete tomb and whatever, you're dead. And you're missing to be embraced by the earth. Because life is about embrace. Life is about being embraced. God himself, the Lord himself, was embraced by the Father. He was embraced in swaddling cloths at his birth. He was embraced and wrapped in swaddling cloths at his death. And in between the birth and the death, he was baptized. He was baptized in the water, in the embrace of the water. And he said, I am light. I am the light of the world. The light which embraces you, all of us, and guides us to the eternal city. It's all about embrace. In the beginning was the Word, and God said, let there be light, and let the waters be gathered together, and the dry land appear. So God called the dry land earth, and the gathered waters he called seas, and God saw that it was good. The primal elements of existence, from the beginnings of creation, the cosmic elements, light, water, earth. And before all that, the embrace, proston theon. Proston theon, the embrace of God the Father. And that's the message that hits me today. It only took me about a few minutes to put that together, and I said to myself, okay, I got good stuff here. How am I going to turn this into a sermon? Well, I tried later in the evening when I thought maybe I might think better. And then there's this other Greek word that hit me. This other Greek word, the word metaxi. Μεταξύ. Μεταξύ ζωής και θάνατος. Μεταξύ των αιώνων. The in-between. The word μεταξύ means between. The gap in between, from here to here, the in-between. So we have the embrace and we have the between, the μεταξύ. What comes between two events. And everything in the Bible, or almost everything in the Bible, is a matter of metaxi. That interval, the between, the waiting. And we are between the ages. In this, our metaxi, Christ came as light. He came as shepherd, to embrace us with loving care in his light, in the light, to make us light. So he says, you are the light of the world. After he proclaimed that I am the light of the world, he says, you are the light of the world. That's the embrace. That's the unity. That's what now awaits for us, for our light to manifest. And maybe that's what the Christian life is all about. We receive the light. We are called to be light. But somehow, most of us seem to keep our light well hidden, well covered. So we're in that metaxi time. I can go on and on with these primal cosmic images, but I'm not a good enough mystic, so I'll stop while I'm still ahead. But dear friends, how often did you pause this year or in previous years to reflect on the immensity of Christmas, the immense reality and message of Christmas? How often do you pause to think about it, what it means for you and for me? So let me leave the realm of cosmic symbolism and come down to earth. The earth in which Christ was born. The earth in which the eternal light shone in the face of a fragile newborn baby. And fragile that baby was. No sooner was he born, but the powers of hell came upon him through the figure of King Herod. The terror of the state descended upon him. Because the state and the rulers of men cannot accept a new form of government. A new form of government that owes nothing to them. And as Isaiah foretold, the government was upon his shoulders. And he shall be called Wonderful Counselor, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. That's the prophecy of Isaiah. And it hit me when I tried to fill in those first few minutes. Yeah, I get it now. Government. Government. Do you get it? The government shall be upon his shoulder. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. and of the increase of his government. Isaiah again says, of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord will do this. The zeal of the Lord. But the zeal of the Lord always comes up against human resistance. And those powers that resisted the birth of Jesus with the easiest form of violence. Is there an easier form of violence imaginable than violence against infants? It's the easiest and yet the most evil. And those powers who resisted the birth of Jesus have resisted him for 2,000 years. And at the end of his earthly existence, Jesus was again attacked by the power of the state and the rulers who live in fear of being exposed and replaced. For indeed, as the old children's nursery story puts it, the king has no clothes. The king has no clothes. He does not want to be exposed. And the less clothes the king has, the more he resorts to violence. And Jesus lived his 30 plus years as a man of Galilee, as a metaxi, an interval between two confrontations with state power. Not a deep state, forget the deep state, but a state in its open, brutal power as it attempted to kill him as an infant and succeeded to crucify him and extinguish his life, or so he thought. Or so the state thought. And not just the state, but the power behind the state, Satan. And that's why St. Paul wrote in his letter to the Colossians, when Christ was crucified, he made a mockery of the powers and principalities and the powers that be, that thought they had defeated him, finally kicked God out of human existence and human circulation. St. Paul, though, who could read the signs and who could see the reality behind that crucified man, he said he made a mockery of them. Made a mockery of them. So the final mockery of Herod, although he was dead by that time, but his replacement, Pontius Pilate, the final mockery of the state and all the powers that control the state was there on the cross. So I take comfort in that. Take comfort that I live in the metaxi between creation and the eternal kingdom, where the government is on his shoulder, not on anybody else's. And we live in the interval between the word saying, let there be light, and the word revealing the light that is in each of us when he welcomes us to the city of light and speaks to us those beautiful words, well done, good and faithful servant. We live in that metaxi before we hear those words. Don't you want to hear those words? Well done, good and faithful servant. You hunger and you thirst for the compliments of people. You want to hear, get great A's from your teacher and to be praised, and you want to get commendations from your bosses. And you don't want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. I never got any commendations. I don't look for them, quite frankly. I just want to hear those words from the Lord, not from any human beings. That's what it's all about, dear friends, and that's why we are in the metaxi and in the embrace of Christ's love, the same embrace that held him at his birth and at his death and his burial, that embrace that he has felt from all eternity with God the Father. And he promises to us, in the Gospel of John, he promises to us that we will be with him where he is with the Father, meaning we will be received in his embrace. Have you noticed that icon of the dormition? Mary is dead, but her spirit, her eternal being, is held in the embrace of her son. When he was born, she held him in her embrace. When she dies, he holds her in his embrace as he holds every one of us. Not just after we die, but even while we're here. We live and have our being in him. That's the metaxi that we are living now. It's all here. It's all there. And the cosmic mystery and the earthly hopes and fears that met in Bethlehem, as the Christmas carol says it, it's all here in this most beautiful and at the same time most terrifying season of the year. Amen.